Ever wonder how in the world there are women out there living insanely badass lives? Like, how did they do it? How did they make it happen? What makes them so special? This is the place where I chase down the world's most badass women to find out exactly how they took on the dare to be her, that badass girl they dreamed of becoming. Hey, I'm your host, Jessica Nason, and founder of Dare to Be Her, and we're chatting it up with some of the most badass women to find out how they did it. What was their journey to making it all happen? This is the Raw and Real podcast where we unfold the true journey of what it takes to live your wildest dreams, and we ain't holding nothing back. Hey, what's up, guys? Today we're talking to one of my most favorite people on this planet, Caitlin Wheeler. Guys, this girl is like a mega rock star. She's practically Superwoman. You're gonna love her. You can even get her digits at the end. Her digits. Like, do people even say digits anymore? You can get her phone number at the end. How's that? So you can literally give her a call, dial her number, and make her your next best friend. So in today's episode, we're talking slaying debt. We're talking networking. We're talking all the good life stuff. I needed to introduce y'all to this girl because she is contagious. She's so full of energy and personality, and she'll make you a better person just by being in her presence and listening to her on this podcast. On top of being so amazing, she's a badass networker. She's a mom. She's a debt slayer. She has paid off nearly $75,000 in student loans. She also cooks up some mouthwatering recipes that y'all are going to want to keep your eyes open for. All right, guys, enough of that. Let's get into this thing. Let's all meet Caitlin Wheeler. Talk life. Let's talk, you know, everything you're doing. Let's talk debt. Let's just have some fun.
Okay.
So yeah, thank you so much for coming on here. So excited to have you. I think, like, first off, I need to know where you're from, because I feel like you're not from Connecticut originally.
That's a good place. That's always a good place to start, right? So I am actually originally from Connecticut. You can't tell by my accent.
You are.
You can't tell by my Connecticut Valley girl accent.
You're all y'all. And I'm like, she's got to be from the South.
That's true. Okay. So I grew up in Connecticut. I mean, pretty much my whole life, besides when I went away to school and when I went away, you know, to the Louisville, Kentucky, Indiana area. And that's where the y'all comes from. I grew up in Connecticut my whole life. I mean, oh my goodness, I remember, like, being young, like, going to downtown Mystic and hanging out in downtown Mystic, you know, getting ice cream and watching the bridge go up. So yes, total Connecticut girl at heart.
That's so funny. I was like, there's no way. I couldn't believe I never asked you before. And I'm like, there's no way she's from Connecticut.
That's why we do podcasts, right? To find out, like, the details.
Yeah, so what were you like growing up? Because I think everybody has a perception, you know, of other people. And that's not always the same perception you have of yourself. So I feel like you're so, like, fearless. You're so outgoing. You're not so worried about what people think of you. And you just do you. So what were you like growing up?
Whoa. So I was not like that growing up. So first of all, I always tell people, like, ever since I was a little girl, like, when I would lie in bed at night, I always knew, like, I always had really big dreams. I remember I had this bunk bed when I was really little, and it was right around the time where, remember the movie Titanic?
Yeah.
So that movie had come out, and I was obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio, and I had my movie poster, you know, on my wall next to my top bunk of the bunk bed that my sister and I shared. And, like, I just always thought, like, you know, someday I'm going to meet Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, I just, those were thoughts that would go through my head. And, like, another example is, like, when I was really little, like, my neighbor, my sister and I, we put together this Save the Dolphins luncheon. You know, we just, like, always had these big ideas. And So basically, we put together this luncheon. We made like cruelty-free tuna sandwiches. We used the donations from the luncheon, which, by the way, the guests at the luncheon were my mom, my neighbor's mom, and another lady from the neighborhood. But we did like a presentation. We used that money to adopt a dolphin.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
So like always had like these big ideas, these big visions. But the thing was, Jessica, like I was very, very self-conscious. I was very shy, to the point where like if the teacher called on me in class, like I just would be so shy and so nervous to even say anything. I was made fun of in school and especially in high school. And because like I had acne and I was really awkward. I was not popular. I did play sports, but like which I think was my saving grace, 'cause that at least got me like out and about, and I was kind of good at sports. But yeah, I was very shy, very self-conscious. So yeah, but I don't think if I went through that teasing that I went through and kind of like being an outcast and like going to the bathroom to eat my lunch because I didn't have anybody to sit with, I don't think that I would be the person that I am today. So I'm really grateful that, I did go through that.
Yeah, I completely agree because I was the same exact way. Like I just grew up in a super small town. Like we had kindergarten through eighth grade, like 25 kids in my class. And then I went into a high school where I graduated with a class of I think 504 kids. And so it was like such a transition going from that small group of kids where you could just kind of be yourself into this like mass of thousands of kids.
Yes.
And so when I got into high school, I was, very similar. I wasn't ever picked on, but I just didn't want to conform to anybody. And so I just, instead of like trying to get along with people, instead of like putting myself out there and doing what everyone else did, I just like shut down and just like
Yes.
stayed in my own bubble. So I remember lunches. You just mentioned lunch, and I was like, oh my gosh, I remember. We had all different like lunch periods, which I'm sure most high schools do. But I remember like certain days, like a day or two, I would know someone at lunch, and then every other day I'd be like, oh my gosh, where can I go and hide? Because I don't know anybody. Like I don't want to walk
Yes.
into the lunchroom not knowing anybody. So
Yes.
at what point would you say like you're like, man, I don't want to be that girl anymore, and then you like shifted? Like what was that point in your life where you made the change to be somebody else, to dare to be her, is what I love to call it.
Yeah, which I love the name. I love the name of this podcast. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for putting it together. It's so needed. You know what happened? So I actually went away to boarding school for like a postgraduate year after high school. So after high school, between college, I went away to Vermont to a boarding school for a postgraduate year. And when I went to that boarding school, like suddenly, like I wasn't made fun of. I was like accepted there. And people were really nice to me. And I don't, I, that just, I mean, I hate to say that, like, because I was accepted there, that gave me confidence, but it just kind of did. And I just kind of stopped being so shy. I kind of found my voice through some of the classes that were there, some of the drama classes that I took and art classes that I took. And I just kind of came out of my shell. And then from there, going to college, I found my voice even more. And I kind of realized that, like, yeah, I love this entrepreneur thing, and that's what I'm destined for. That's what I want to do. I want to help people. I want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you kind of like finally find that little bubble. You're like, oh, I kind of fit in here.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm always like challenging and pushing girls to like try something new, like do something you've never done. Or a lot of times, like I think we lose track of who we were. Maybe it was high school, maybe it was, your later teenage, early 20s, where you kind of really felt good about who you are. But then once life, starts to happen, you lose track of that girl and you sort of change and you conform. And so I'm always like challenging girls, like go try something new or go try something that you used to love. Because once you start to do those things, you're like, oh, like I see who I am. Like I see how this feels to me. And you start to
Yes.
feel where you fit in. And like, you know, that's where you really find yourself, I think.
Absolutely. I think especially like you're saying for younger girls and then also like even moms. I don't know how many
Yes.
moms are listening, but when we kind of like you said get into that routine as a mom of taking care of our children, and we just kind of get into the routine, lose ourselves. So yeah, it's good to like take that time to love on yourself. Like you said, go and do something that you used to enjoy or try something new so you don't get lost in just taking care of the kids and not loving on yourself and losing your voice.
Yeah, exactly. You, it just like you said, like you start to lose yourself. And I think it happens in so many different stages of life. I mean, it happened to me for sure when I had graduated college and then I got into a job and I started that job. And it's just like, okay, well, I have a job and now I have to pay for rent and now I have to pay for my bills. And you know, you
Yes.
just any sort of like anytime you get into that routine, like that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. So yeah, same thing with like whether it's getting a job and getting into that new routine or getting married and you know, being so consumed with everything that your husband or well, we have mostly women watching,
Yeah,
but you know,
yeah.
your husband or wife or when you're having kids and then you get so consumed in them, like yeah, you've got to take that time out to figure out who you are. And
Great
see what
point.
lights you up again.
Exactly. That's a great reminder. Great point.
So then after you went to boarding school, then you went to college in Kentucky.
I actually went to UMass. I went to college in Massachusetts, and so at boarding school, and again at boarding school, I had met somebody, kind of like my first boyfriend, and I was so excited because it was like my first boyfriend. Nobody ever liked me, right? Nobody ever like thought I was cute or anything like that. And so I went to school in Massachusetts because I kind of followed him. And that what happened in the years that followed was. It was good. It shaped me. It was tumultuous. It was a little bit crazy. But again, I'm so thankful for the experience because I definitely would not be the person I am today without what happened to me in those years. The experiences that I got, the experiences I went through. So.
Yeah, sometimes those hard times are, you know, they suck in the moment, but they're the best thing to show you who you are and like where you're supposed to be.
Yes, that well, and actually, my first mentor, like my first business mentor, that taught me that you can literally be what you want to be. It's up to you to make it happen. Was my boyfriend at the time's father,
Okay.
who and his mother as well. They were successful business people. His father was actually a Green Beret, a retired Green Beret, and he was just very like if you want to do it, go out and do it and make it happen. And he was a self-made millionaire. He grew up like super, super poor in Alabama and rose, went to the military, came back from Vietnam, like didn't have anything to his name. And then, built himself up through corporate America and then went off to build his own businesses. So he had this amazing story. And, my upbringing, my parents, my mom was, just in and out of jobs her whole life. She always worked like two minimum wage jobs. My dad was a carpenter. So they didn't really have that. Like, even though my dad owned a small business, he didn't really have that, or he never really imparted that business mindset on me. Because I was his baby and he wanted to just like hand me everything. He didn't want me to get my hands dirty. And so that was the first time I ever really got like a mentor and got these business concepts. And so yeah, I'm really grateful for that, for my boyfriend's parents at the time because they just taught me a lot about business. They let me
That's
run one of their businesses actually.
Did they? What was their
Yes.
business at that time?
So they had a, so they were in Massachusetts near where I went to school, and they had a couple of different businesses, hotels and restaurants, but specifically the one that I ran was this place called TJ's Bar and Grill. So it was a like a dive bar. And again, like just you might be like, oh my gosh, a dive bar, like what was that like? But I literally, I mean, I know that I took that dive bar from a dive bar to like it was still a dive bar when I was done with it, but it was the place to be, and there was really good food, and there was good, you know, good people and a good music and good place to hang out. And I did that through like marketing and promotion, and you know, again, just all these like crazy ideas I would come up with and just implement, and they worked.
Every town needs a good dive bar.
Exactly.
There is nothing wrong with a dive bar.
Exactly.
What gave you that confidence to like, I mean, how old were you then? You had to have been in your 20s, if
I
that.
was. Yeah. I was super young. I was like 22, 23.
So like, how did you have the confidence to like go for it and be like, yeah, this is what this place needs. Let me do this. Like, how do you're barely even been in bars at that point.
I know. I just, you know, this like entrepreneurial spirit where I would just come up with this, you know, I'd be sitting thinking, and I didn't really at that point have any concept of like growth or like, oh, we need to make this place grow. I just was like, I need to get people in here to buy the drinks, buy the food, and, you know, listen to the music. So I was like, how could I do that? So I'd be like, okay, you know, I love creating stuff. I'm gonna make little flyers. I'm gonna go, you know, I made these little 3x5 cardboard flyers that promoted, you know, the events for the weekend. And I'm gonna go put them on cars in the parking lots in the surrounding areas. And I'm gonna go pass them out, and I'm gonna go put them at surrounding businesses and just network with people. And you know, that was one thing my dad always did teach me. Is, you know, your network is really your net worth. And so he did teach me the importance of networking. And so yeah, I would just come up with these crazy ideas that were really inexpensive but really effective. One of the other things I did was I was like, so I don't know if you've ever been to, have you ever been to a bar or a restaurant, and the like Bud Light or Jameson or Jägermeister, they'll have promotional girls there, right? Okay. So I knew that the distributors, they had it like a budget for to send out the promotional girls every year. They had a certain number of events that they would host at the bar. But it wasn't enough. Like I knew we needed to do more of that stuff. So I went and created my own promotional events. I went and hired my own promotional models. I asked you know, the liquor beer distributors for the shirts and the tchotchkes, but I put together my own promotional events, and I paid the girls, you know, $20 an hour. And I, you know, hired really pretty girls. And sometimes like I would step in if one of the girls didn't show up, and it was crazy because we'd be like short a bartender, we'd be short a promotional model, but we just made it work. It was so much fun. It was like, great memories, great memories.
Yes, I loved. Oh gosh, I have so many things I want to touch on in that little bit. All right, so like first off, you were like, all right, how can I do this? And I think how is just the biggest question that we can ask ourselves, like in any situation. Like, what make it happen? Because it's never as big and as difficult and as like, you know, overwhelming as we make things out to be. So it's like that simple question of like, all right, how can I do it? And then you're like, what do I enjoy doing? You're like, I enjoy being creative. I enjoy making flyers. And I think like those two pieces of the puzzle are so simple that we overlook them far too often.
Like with this podcast, you know, how did you, I just feel like it probably came from, because I know you're passionate about it, like it probably came from a place of something that you love to do, right? Empower other women and help other women tell their stories. So like, how did this podcast come about? Like, did you ask yourself how?
Yeah, well, you know what the silly thing is I knew what I wanted. I almost feel like it was that exact story right there. It's we overcomplicate things, and it's when you know exactly what you want, but you overcomplicate the process of how. So you're overcomplicating, like, oh my gosh, the fears, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't have what she has.
Yes.
Like all of those stories that we tend to play up around the how, we tend to overcomplicate them. And so I know there's so many amazing women like yourself, which we're going to get into your, you know, the meat of this story of your debt slaying in a little bit. But there's so many amazing women in this world who are no different than anybody else. Like they're just your average everyday women. And they're doing amazing things. And they're doing things that so many other people want to do. But we're overcomplicating them, right? So we never do them. So I wanted to just bring on like real everyday women who are doing badass things to really share their story and strategy as to how they did
it. Yeah.
Because it's not that hard. It's so doable and anybody can do it. So yeah, I had this vision of like, who is it you dare to be? Like, who's that girl? Now go be her.
Yes. So, yeah. Can I just share something really quick that I think might be a little strategy for how to kind of X-nay on the, oh, can I do this? This, you know, how we complicate things. You know, let's try to get past that, right? Because so many women have so many great ideas. And so I was listening to an entrepreneur. His name is Peter Voogd. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's younger.
No, I don't know.
He's super young. He's like 23, 24, 25. And, you know, he went from dead broke to six figures. Now he's a millionaire. But he was talking about this idea that, you know, and he was actually interviewing Mel Robbins at the time, who is great, The 5 Second Rule, which amazing book. But
I was just, my friend just told me to read that last week. I got to read
By the way, read that book. That book will give you a strategy of how to overcome procrastination for sure.
So let's talk about it real quick. I haven't read it, but let's just share what it is because I heard that it is like, all right, so there's something you want to do. Right. When we were talking about this book, we were talking about one of our friends who knew a girl, had met a girl at a wedding, and she wanted to go up and talk to her.
Yes.
And they both knew each other, but were so terrified to talk to each other. So I was told about the 5 second rule and that it's like, all right, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go do it.
Yes.
Is that, that's pretty much what it is, right? In a nutshell.
Exactly. Everything is either 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go do it, or 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, sit back down.
Yeah.
And you know, it really is as simple as that. So it's a great book. I've actually read it 2 times. Mel Robbins, her story is an amazing story. She was, you know, an alcoholic. She was on the verge of bankruptcy or bankrupt. I can't remember. And so her story is amazing. Now she's a world-renowned speaker and she gets paid like, I think $35,000 a speech or something like that. So go read that book. Amazing story, amazing strategy for how to overcome procrastination.
Yes.
One thing we got to be really careful about is, you know, in this day and age, we are literally inundated with information. There's never been more information available at our fingertips than there is now with Google and with all the technology that we have. And what happens is, and Mel Robbins said this in the interview with Peter Voogd, she said, this consumption of information actually feeds into our self-doubt because we get overwhelmed. When the brain is overwhelmed with too much stuff coming at it, with too many things like, oh, I got to do this. It actually shuts down and seeks distraction.
Yes.
And so one of the strategies besides the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the 5 second rule is just being really specific with what information you're choosing and, you know, consume it and then pick one thing that you're going to go and implement right away and make sure you implement that before you move on to consuming any more information.
Yes, I so agree with that. My husband and I had gone through that where we were just like learning and like working on personal development. And you get to the point where you're like, gosh, I can't learn anymore.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, like this, now it's time to do something about it. And so I definitely go through those periods where I'm just learning and learning. And then I'm like, all right, enough's enough learning. Let's put into action what we got to put into action.
Yes.
Yes. So that, yeah, thank you so much for pointing that out because there's so much information out there in this world.
So
We're
much.
like consumed with it, like inundated with it. We got the internet, we got social media, we got the news, we've got people's opinions. Like it's all over the place.
And P.S., just being real, I would say, I would dare to say that 75%, if not more, of the information out there is a lot of fluff. It's a lot of fluff to then go and get you to purchase something, right? So
Yes.
just, be aware. And I know your listeners are very aware, and this is a phenomenal world-class podcast, so I know you're always bringing the good information. So good job,
Thank
Jessica.
you. So your dad is the one who taught you how to network.
Yes.
Let's share a quick story about how we met.
Yes.
So well, we were both in this. If you guys haven't read the book, I had read the book.
A
Help me out here.
Tribe Called Bliss.
Tribe
Yes.
Called Bliss by Lori Harder. Such a great book. A great book to like really, dig deep into yourself, but also like put yourself out there to connect with other women. And so, I picked up this book because I had been feeling this way. I'd been feeling like, oh, I just don't fit in. Like, I read the first page of this book and was like, this is me. She's
Yes.
talking to me. Like, I don't fit in. I just don't get along with other people. I'm too different. Like, whatever it may be. And I feel like I've had this conversation in my community, and so many women feel the same way, where they feel like they're different. They feel like they just don't get along with other people. And so they feel isolated. And then instead of, trying to overcome their what they think about them is so different, they just, they stay isolated. So I had picked up this book, A Tribe Called Bliss by Lori Harder, and I Google searched, or not Google searched, I Facebook searched A Tribe Called Bliss. And then I came up with this New England group
Amazing.
of Tribe Called Bliss. And that's where I met Caitlin.
Whoop.
And I'd seen like some of her videos and I was like, oh my gosh, this girl is like so full of energy. She does live videos, guys. You got to check them out.
Thank you.
So full of energy, so full of information. And so I'm sitting at the laundromat one night. Well, it was like probably, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. I was just getting done with my laundry, getting ready to leave. And I get a phone call, which is so funny because I never answer calls that I don't know. But I was like, huh, this is a local number. And it was Caitlin. So, yeah, we hadn't actually talked at this point, but she's like, hey, so I'm not like a creepy stalker, but I found your number on one of your business pages. And then, so I think the next day or 2 days later, like we met up and had coffee. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is my new best friend.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I was like, man, this girl's awesome. Like she is bold and she is ballsy and she doesn't care. She just goes for what she wants. So, what did your dad teach you about networking?
My dad taught me exactly the story that you just told. If you want to be successful, right, you've got to surround yourself with like-minded people who are either on the path to success, have found some success, or are already successful. And I could tell a story that I've actually never told before that would perfectly illustrate this. I don't know how real you want me to get with your
Get
listeners.
real.
Okay.
We're
You
real.
actually don't know this story, Jessica. So this is very, very personal. I've never actually told this to anybody. Actually, nobody knows this except my very close family. But
These are the best stories.
exactly. So, and I know somebody needs to hear it, and I've been pushed to share it. So anyway, without further ado, so my dad always taught me you got to surround yourself with the best in order to be the best. Now, on the flip side of that, when you surround yourself with people that are negative, when you surround yourself with people that are up to no good, guess what will happen?
That's what you'll become.
Exactly. And so when I moved to Indiana, okay, kind of like a segue, and then I'll get back to answering your question about networking.
That's
I want to prove a point here that it's so important that you surround yourself with the best of the best. So when I moved to Indiana, it was because I had, you know, really fallen in love with this guy who is my children's father. And so come to find out, I actually got out to Indiana and I must have been a couple months into it. I actually found out that he had a really bad drug problem. So I had moved my life, you know, this wonderful life that I had in the Northeast to Indiana to be with this person that I really cared about and that I really loved. And to find out that, you know, his situation was very, very bad. He was just a full blown heroin addict. So, I mean, without getting into too many of the details, you know, TVs started disappearing, things started disappearing from my home. And I was like, this is nuts. Like, what am I doing? Like, why don't I get out of here? And I was like, so angry, but I loved him, right? I cared about him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get out of there. Instead of going back home, which I should have done, I stayed, not because I thought I could fix him or because I necessarily wanted to fix him. I was so overwhelmed. I was like, no, I have this really good job. I'm just going to stay and I'm just going to continue working and, you know, it's all going to work out, right? Even though, like, when I would go for my runs and I would go work out, I was super, super angry. I was angry because I was like, why is this happening? It actually turns out that the boyfriend that I was talking about that I lived with in Massachusetts, the reason that I left him is because he was a full-blown drug addict. He was a full-blown heroin addict. So I went from one drug addict boyfriend to getting out of that situation, moving on to a new situation. And it turns out that that new situation was exactly like the old one.
Yeah. What makes you think that happened? I mean, like, from being in that environment, from being comfortable in that environment, from, you know, just subconscious thoughts that you had.
Do you mean why do you think I
went from one environment to the next? Not particularly knowing that that's what that was.
Yeah.
But
I was just in denial. And that's something we got to be really careful about. Like, we got to be really honest. If you ever find yourself in a situation like where you're dealing with a drug addict, you're dealing with someone who's abusive, anything like that, protect yourself first. And that means getting out of that situation, I think. You know, get them help if you need to, but do it from a distance.
Yeah.
Because what ended up happening is I actually started using drugs. So, you know, and it started off, like, I'm not going to get into the really big details of it, but it started off with just, you know, I was like stressed, I was overwhelmed. I had never touched a drug in my life. Like, a Smirnoff Ice to me was a big deal. Drinking a Smirnoff Ice was a big deal to me. And it wasn't anybody's fault but my own. You know, it was my fault. And I started using drugs and I actually, just a terrible drug problem for like 2 years, that really affected like me and the trust that my family had with me. And, mm-hmm. So luckily, you know, before my children were born, I got help and I've been clean for four and a half years now. But, you know, that's what happens when you put yourself in those situations. Either you're going to get hurt or you're going to get overcome with whatever's going on in that situation.
Now, I feel like that can just happen. Like, it's almost like things can just start to spiral out of control where you don't even know that they're happening.
Exactly.
So how would you How do you have that self-awareness to be like, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. This isn't right. This isn't me.
I think that, so I just remember like a distinct day when I was, like I said, I was running, doing sprints up and down this hill in Indiana, right near where we lived. And I was like, I'm so angry. I can't believe he didn't tell me that he had a drug problem. And this was like before I started using drugs with him and his friends. And I was like, I'm just going to go home and I'm just going to get out of here. And so when you make that decision, like do it, act on it. Again, it's like, don't procrastinate. Don't make excuses. It's the same within business. If you are thinking of someone, you're like, I need to call this person, right? We're going from drugs to business, but it's the same thing. This is how our minds work. If you're like, I need to call somebody, I really need to reach out to this person, do it in that moment. Don't wait because, you're being called to do it. Same thing with when you're in a bad situation. I'm getting out, I'm leaving.
I just lost you. Sorry there.
I think I had a call come in.
Oh, don't worry. Okay.
act on it then and do something about it then. Do not wait because it's your life. Life is so precious. We can't put ourselves in danger because you just never know when, like I said, life is so precious. It's so fragile.
Yeah. And whether that be like physical danger or just danger of not going in the direction of where you want to be.
Exactly.
You got to just make that conscious decision of this is what I want and go do it. Massive action.
Yes. Take massive action.
Massive action. That's my theme of the month.
I love it. I love it. So back to your question about networking. I know we got kind of on a tangent there, but
that's all right.
Thanks for
being so open.
You are welcome. I mean, like I said, I've been called for a while to share that, but somebody needs to hear it. And so, but it really proves a point. Like you want to surround yourself with the best. So when I, saw who you were and I saw that you were like-minded, like boss babe, the colors on your Facebook page, anybody that's ever seen Jessica's Facebook page, it's like so colorful, just so bright. And I just was like, this is somebody that is on the same path or could teach me something. I just need her in my circle. And then the next part to that is getting the person's attention, right? So like, I wanted to call you because I wanted to get your attention and let you know that like, you were special to me. Like you were on my mind. You're special to me. I want to connect with you. I want to be in your world. I want you to be in my world and I want to collaborate or there's just a reason why I'm feeling called that we need to get together and talk and figure out, what we're supposed to do together.
Yeah.
So I decided to call you, which is scary, right? Nowadays, most people text, most people instant message.
You're like a freak if you call someone. It's like not normal to pick up a telephone, and it's so bizarre to me.
It's bizarre to me as well. And all I'm going to say, again, listen to something this morning by Peter Voog, not to go back to him, but y'all, he's very real and he's not no fluff. So I definitely check him out. He was saying that, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I lost my train of thought. He was just being totally real. He was saying, let's see, what were we talking about? We were saying,
oh my gosh, you lost me. I lost it too.
We were saying that you,
the phone calls.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So thank you so much, Jessica. Basically whatever everyone's doing, you want to do the complete opposite of that. Right.
Yeah.
So to be successful, like if nobody else is calling, you want to make the phone call.
So true.
If everybody else is, going out on Friday and Saturday night to a movie, don't go on Friday and Saturday night to a movie. Work on your business or spend, whatever it is that you're going to do. But just whatever everybody else is doing, do the complete opposite of that, basically, if you want to be successful.
Yep. My husband and I always have this conversation because we're like, oh my gosh, are we like oddballs in this world? Like, everyone else, whatever, they're going out to eat, they're going out for drinks, they're going to movies, they're trying to buy houses.
Yeah.
They're, doing all these things, and we're like the complete opposite. Where everyone's trying to upgrade, and we're just trying to downgrade.
And I love it. I love that you're not afraid to like keep it simple and but you still have that like huge vision.
Yes. But it's like sometimes you got to make those choices, those hard choices of, making that phone call or reaching out to that person or doing the things that everybody else isn't doing. And sometimes it's hard.
It is. It is.
But you got to, like you said, you got to have that vision. You got to know what you want.
Yes. And know the difference. Know the difference between like that nervous feeling in your the butterflies in your gut, right? Because you might be like a little bit scared to make the phone call or reach out. Know the
Yeah.
difference between that feeling and the feeling of like I am in immediate danger. I need to get out. Because your body will like protect you from immediate danger. It will get you, our primal instincts, it will get you out of there. Right? But there's definitely a difference between, fight or flight and
Yeah.
butterflies. So know that difference.
For sure. But yeah, I think it's like I think we judge ourselves so hard. We think we're so different, when really we're all the same. Like so many of us are alike, and I think we gotta put ourselves out there. Get comfortable with with being uncomfortable. Get comfortable, with reaching out to people. We live in a world of like social media where we want to be so connected, where we're so connected, seeing each other's lives, but we're not like in each other's lives.
Yes.
So yeah, what would be like your biggest tip to like someone that feels, stuck in their bubble, someone
Yes.
that feels like they can't, they're all alone, they want connection, they want friendships, but they just don't know what to do.
Yes. Okay, so I can relate to that feeling because I built my business in the out in the community. That's how I traditionally built my business. I did not do it on social media. And what happened was I wanted to get more into social media because I really do feel that the way that the world is moving, we're definitely communicating through social media. Like that's the favored communication tool is social media. So wanted to get on social, build my business more on social. And I actually found that I was, like you said, in this bubble, like feeling really isolated, kind of like feeling, I don't want to say depressed, but I just was feeling isolated. So I know that feeling. And the best cure for that, y'all, is there comes the y'all, is get out into your community. Okay. So put your phone down or put your phone in your back pocket if you want to take a picture at the community event, when you go and post it on Facebook. But get out into your community. Y'all, there's something called Dr. Google. And when you Google networking events in Connecticut or networking events in Maryland or wherever you are, or women's events in wherever you are, all of a sudden, all these events will come up that you can go to, and most of them are free. And your newspaper, the thing called the newspaper that still
That
exists,
paper, that black and white thing.
go and get one and look through it because they list community events that are right around your corner, like less than a mile from where you are. And just think, I'm not saying to go to the ones that don't jazz you up. Like, I love to hang out at women's events because I love meeting other strong women. So that's what I gravitate towards. Maybe you like, exercise events or exercise classes. Find a Zumba class or find a yoga class, or they have lots of children and mommy classes if you need to bring your kids, or the Y has babysitting services. Maybe you're into creative, you love to create art. There's lots of free art classes. There's just so many things. And so I would say that if you are feeling isolated, go out into your community because you're going to find people. You're going to touch people, you're going to be able to hug people, and there's something about the exchange of I don't know, it's like pheromones, is that what they're called?
Yeah, I would say so. Like in touch.
Exactly. Just from being around other people in person, hugging, touching other people. I don't want to sound like a weirdo, but it's like we need touch as humans. We need touch.
We do. So as much as I have like I wasn't grown up like a super lovey-dovey, touchy kind of person, But there is something about being around people's energy, being around people's, vibrancy, their happiness. Like, it makes a difference.
Yes, it does. What is
And
the
it,
last, tell me about the last time you got like a hug. How did you feel?
you always feel good. Oh my gosh, I have this one friend at the restaurant that I work at, and she is just a hugger. She'll just walk up and be like, "You look like you need a hug." And she just gives you these huge hugs, and you cannot help but laugh and smile.
Yes.
Like, it's the best.
Awesome. Just, let your guard down, get out there. Don't be afraid to let someone hug you. Don't be afraid to hug somebody else. And you know what? You don't even have to go that fast. You can ease into it. Just go to the event and kind of feel it out, and then, give the hug the
Yes.
second time you go.
I think that's so big because I used to hate networking. Like, I thought it was just such an icky, gross thing because I started off in real estate. I've had so many jobs. I was a real estate
Yes.
agent w in my senior year of
Oh,
college.
wow.
So I would go to these networking events, and it was just like you felt like you were just there to sell. At least
Yeah.
that's how I felt. And so, yeah, getting into this different state of mind where you're like, I'm not here to sell. I'm not here to sell myself. I'm just here to be. I'm just here to meet people. I'm just here to have a good time. Like, get yourself into that right frame of mind and just
Absolutely.
have a good time with it. And if your first time you're terrified, that's okay. Like, either put on your game face and fake it till you make it, or just kind of show up and just be there. And then when you do it again, you'll be a little more loose. And then when you do it again, you'll be a little more loose.
So true, right? Don't be expecting the first time if it's a little bit awkward. Practice makes perfect, right? Think about riding a bike. It wasn't perfect the first time, and then you had to keep doing it. That's a very simple analogy, but it's really true. It's
Yeah,
true for anything.
I think we get it into our heads that we have to go and be perfect the first time we do something, and it's like, no, just go and show up. Like, that's a huge step, and then grow from there.
And the other thing that is exactly, it's all about growth, right? And maybe you find that like that event that you went to, it doesn't jazz you up. It does nothing for your soul. Totally fine. Find another event, that's
For
why I
sure.
like these, more, I love networking events. I went to a BNI the other day, and
What's a
BNI,
BNI?
it's called Business Networking International. And
Okay.
it's basically like the oldest networking group in the world. I went and I saw and I conquered and I decided that it wasn't for me. I just decided that it lovely people, they were so welcoming to me, but just totally not for me. But you know what? That's okay. I connected with so many fabulous people. That, by the way, I will stay in touch with, even though I'm not going to be part of BNI. And now I know that at this point in my life, like BNI is not what's right for me, but I might go and find another chapter, and because they have different chapters in different areas of the
Right.
state and different areas of the country. And you can go to just, you get to go two times for free. Here's a little networking tidbit. Search your local BNI, search local BNI chapters in your area. You get two free visits. Don't be afraid to just use those two free visits to go and connect with people. If you like it, great. Pay the $700 that it costs to be part of the club. If you don't like it, you don't like it, and thank them for welcoming you and say, this is not, the timing's not right for me to join the BNI. But stay in
Right.
contact with those people that you connected with.
Yeah. Any free chance and opportunity to meet somebody new is so worth it.
I wanted to also say really quick, this is just another little tidbit when you're networking. When I go into a networking event, especially, I, do not focus on me. I focus on finding out about the other person, right? So that you mentioned, your background in real estate, right? You would go to these networking events and it was like sales pitch, sales pitch, sales pitch, right? Everybody would stand up and give their 30-second elevator speech, and everybody was really focused on like what's in it for me. So flip that script and be trying to figure out what the other people around you need and how you can serve them. And when somebody, like when somebody at a networking event asks me about myself, I say, "Hey, my name is Caitlin. I'm a mom. I have two little ones. and my hashtag is Moms Who Slay Debt. You know, tell me a little bit about like where you're from and do you have a family? I immediately like flip it on them and start asking them questions because I want to know about them.
And the more that you'll ask them, the more that they'll open up and the more that you'll get to have a real connection too.
Yes.
Like you'll break through the bullshit, you'll break through the elevator speech, you'll break through whatever show they're trying to put on,
Yes.
and you'll just break them down to a person and you can have a good conversation.
Yes, exactly. It's all about authenticity. It's all about the
Yes.
story, and I love it.
Yeah. It's so fascinating getting to know people. Like look at it as like your little detective, you know.
Yes.
It's your detective job for the day.
Exactly.
Get to know someone new, message someone new, see what they're up to, see what they love to
It,
do.
and you know what? It goes the same on Facebook, right? I'm not saying to
Exactly.
not do the Facebook and Instagram and, you know, Snippa Snappa, Twitter, Tweeter stuff, but
Snippa snappa Twitter tweeter. Love it.
you know, one of the biggest questions I get, Jessica, is, you know, what do I say to somebody on Messenger? You know, when somebody's starting a conversation on Messenger, like, what do I say? I'm like, well, if you were sitting down with somebody at a coffee shop for a cup of coffee, right? Or you were sitting next to your best friend, like at a, you know, a nice restaurant, sipping on a Cosmo, like, what would you say to her? What would you say to the person you're sitting having coffee with? You know, hey, how's your day going? So, you know, just don't forget that conversation, like just have a genuine conversation. It's going to take practice, but, you know, just be genuine and don't be afraid to, you know, be you. There's no wrong conversation if you're being genuine.
Yeah. And just you made me think, like, imagine like a best friend that you haven't seen in a couple years.
Yes.
What would you be talking to them about? What would you be asking them? It's no different. And that's the kind of like genuineness and like authenticness that people want to get from you.
Yes. And if you have, by the way, if you have a really good conversation, especially on Messenger, or you know, go ahead and write down what questions you asked, and conversation starters. Go ahead and write that down if that could be helpful for you for the next conversations that you're going to have.
Yeah, totally. Make notes. I have a notebook that has notes of
Oh my gosh.
everything.
I feel like you're probably
Everything
like me.
beneficial.
Do you have like seven
Oh,
notebooks?
probably
Yeah,
15.
exactly. Yep.
And I have to buy a new one like every week for something different.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of love notebooks.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, now I
So
know what to
let's
get you for a good gift.
right? So let's talk about you and your debt. Now, this is incredible. So you paid off $75,000 in debt, right?
Just under $75,000.
Just
So
under.
it was 74 something or other. I need to know the exact number because it's pretty amazing.
We'll let you slide on the extra couple
Okay,
hundred.
thank you. Sally Mae won't let you, or Navian won't let you slide, but you'll
Right?
let me slide.
So,
Yes.
and it was all student loans, or
It
what was
was
it?
mostly student loans, and then there was also bounced checks. There were a couple things on my credit, like a couple of, you know, blemishes on my credit, right? That needed to be cleared up. Bounced checks, like what do you call it? You know, things that payments that I had never made that went into collection.
Yeah.
And so yeah, but for the most part it was student loan debt. And y'all, so I don't know if you're aware, right? Listeners are aware, but there is a huge problem in this country. There's a huge problem in this country, and it's called student loan debt. There are 42 million Americans that are stressed because they have student loan debt and they don't know how to pay it. And no one is talking about it, and no one has a solution for how to actually pay it and not just consolidate it, package it up as something else, push it aside, and you know, pretend that it's not there. So my mission was to address this problem because it is a huge problem. I mean, 42 million Americans.
In student with student loan debt.
Absolutely. And
Now
The
what?
average
Oh, go
student
ahead.
loan debt is like $35,000. It's an
I was gonna say, my face was cringing. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even want to know what it is. Oh,
I've talked to
that's
people,
scary.
I have talked to people, Jessica, who have hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan. I'm talking about like $100,000, $400,000 of student loan debt, and they have no clue besides just going to work and saving their money on how they're going to pay it off. And they're stressed about it.
What got you into this, like, this debt's got to go? Like, what got you thinking that?
So my whole life, I watched my parents struggle with debt. So, like I said in the beginning, my mom always worked two like minimum wage jobs, right? I love my mom so much. How many of y'all love your mom like so much?
Yes, I know. No matter what, you love your mom.
Like, I just
It
don't
just.
even know what I'm gonna do without her. I don't even want to think about it, but I just don't even know. But
Oh my gosh, my mom just moved away this summer. I haven't seen her since May. I just had to call her yesterday and I'm like, "Mom, like I have nobody to hang out with." Like,
yes,
you know, 'cause there's nothing like your mom.
there isn't. You come from her.
She can drive me crazy. Like she will
Exactly.
drive me nuts, but man, there's nothing like your mom.
Exactly. So, okay, that take that feeling and let me explain to you where this passion for getting rid of debt, slaying freaking debt came from. Because my mom, she tried to be a realtor. She tried to be like an independent, a 1099, right? She all these different jobs that she tried while I was growing up, and I just watched her, struggle, 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 trying to make it work. Trying to All she wanted to do was not be in debt. She really dislikes debt, but she never could get ahead because A. She was always working minimum wage jobs, right? Exchanging her time for money. So she had to show up in order to get paid. If she was sick, she couldn't show up, she didn't get paid. If she needed to be with me and my sister, she didn't show up, she didn't get paid. The other thing was my dad is an alcoholic and he's like has a gambling problem. My dad is very bad with money. So my mom kind of bared the brunt of that. And, had to basically has had to like support a whole family by herself, for my entire life. So I watched that growing up. And I just, she always told me, she's like, just always never depend on someone, never be in debt and always, just always, pay your debts. Like if you have something that's due, just pay it. You got to take care of it because it's not so much that like something's going to happen to you. In fact, like with student loan debt, it's not like you're going to get thrown in jail if you don't pay it. They will garnish your wages. They can do that. And they can garnish tax returns. But it's not even that. Y'all, it's the stress knowing that you have $35,000 due to somebody, and that like makes us feel in our subconscious. I do believe that it makes us feel like inadequate, right? Because we're like we're in
Yeah,
debt.
it's over your head every single month.
Exactly, and you don't know what you have no control over it. You don't know what to do, so you have no solution. Except
Yeah.
consolidation, which again, it's like repackaging it, tying it up in a bow, pushing it aside, and basically just you still got to pay it. How do you pay it?
I can't imagine that there's enough hours in the day to go to work to pay your everyday living expenses on top of trying to get that debt paid off. Like you said, your mom, you know, she went to work, she had to take a day off, she didn't get paid. Like there's just
Exactly.
not enough hours in the day to trade an hour for a dollar to get
Exactly.
that debt paid off.
Exactly. What about the food that you have to put on the table? What about the house that you need for protection and security? What about your car? What about the gas in the car to get to the work? So the average American, right? 75% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. 75% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. They don't have any extra to pay towards their student loan debt. So it's a really stressful situation. It's really, people's backs are up against the wall in a really bad way. And that's just, I identified a problem and I came up with a solution that I tested and did myself first to make sure that it worked. And then I brought that to the marketplace because I was like, this is a real solution. It worked for me. It can work for anybody. If, you know, an ex-drug addict, single mom can do it, anybody can do it, right?
Yes. So your solution, it's affiliate marketing, right?
So it's
That's what you did?
it's basically a hybrid between affiliate and e-commerce. Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's share with everybody what affiliate marketing is, 'cause I know what it is, but I don't really totally get how it works.
Okay. So affiliate marketing is basically what you do every day. Okay, you're just not getting paid for it. So let me kind of break that down. So have you ever had a really great acai bowl at like
Oh God.
at a natural food
Puerto
store?
Rico. Oh my gosh. There's this place in Puerto Rico called Da Bowls. Oh
Oh
my
my
gosh.
goodness.
Can't stop talking
My
about it.
friend
Five
Jackie's in
years
Puerto Rico.
later.
Okay.
Tell her to go to Da Bowls.
I will. I will. Da Bowls. Oh my goodness.
DA Bowls.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I would love to go to Puerto Rico, first of all. And second of all, I would love to go to Da Bowls.
Yes.
So when you went there, like you said, you're still talking about it. So when's the last time you talked about it? Like, tell me what you said to the person you were talking to.
Well, anytime an acai bowl comes up, I'm like, oh my gosh, there is no place like this place. They did it like this. They made it with this. They put the honey on top. Like, you know, every last description that made that bowl so amazing is what I'm sharing with them.
Exactly. And why are you sharing it?
Because it was so incredible. It was unlike any other bowl.
Right? You're
I've had a ton of acai bowls and nothing compares.
okay. So affiliate marketing is exactly that. It's trying a product, a service, a widget, a something that you love as much as that freaking acai bowl. And you're like, people need to know about this. And what smart corporations and companies are doing is they're setting up an affiliate marketing type system where real people that are really trying what they offer, whether it's a product or a service, are able to try it and then turn around and tell their network of friends, family, anybody in their network, right? Which, by the way, people's social media networks nowadays are just massive. I mean, I follow people that have, 23,000. This girl, Amanda, let's see. Oh gosh, blanking on her name. But yeah, Amanda Ensing, she's a beauty influencer. She has like millions of followers. So, anyway, they have this system where you can get paid for just referring people to that product, that service. And it's genius. You don't have to, like, this is not. I'm not really speaking on multi-level marketing. Multi-level marketing is really different. And multi-level marketing is there's inventory usually involved and it can be a little bit messy. But affiliate marketing is usually really clean. Nobody gets hurt.
Doesn't have to feel salesy.
Exactly, because you're really just, you tried something, you loved it, and you're like, listen, I tried this just like you did with the acai bowl. Oh my gosh, you got to try this place, Da Bowls, when you go to Puerto Rico. Like, it's so amazing. The honey, the acai, it was just so creamy. And oh my gosh, I just can't stop thinking about it.
And the
And the bee pollen,
bee pollen.
and that's exactly, and then you get paid for that referral. You get paid for that referral.
How did you learn about this? And what kind of affiliate marketing did you do?
So, first of all, I had been pitched so many multi-level marketing companies in my tenure, right? Because
I think we've all been there. I'm sure there's nobody in this world that hasn't been pitched in
exactly.
an MLM.
Exactly. Right. And I didn't want that. I just knew I didn't want it. It didn't make sense to me. I'm not knocking anybody who chooses that path. I'm not knocking anybody who's successful with that. More power to you. I just knew that I didn't want any part of that. So when I actually answered a newspaper ad for a international manufacturing company, and I met with this gentleman who educated me on what they were doing, how they were changing lives, how I could be part of it, it made sense. And it was all based around this Whole Foods meets Amazon concept. And I was like, Whole Foods, check. Amazon delivered to my door, check. It, like, this is what I need in my life. And this is what I think every other mom and every person, other person, by the way, that buys groceries needs in their life. And so it made sense to me. And ever since, I've been referring people to this Whole Foods meets Amazon store. And I was able to pay off almost, like I said, almost $75,000 worth of debt by leveraging referrals. And it's it, I help people every day. It just feels really good.
That's gotta feel good. And that's like where the networking comes in too.
Absolutely.
Where if you didn't have that network, if you didn't, build those skills, how would you have been able to refer people? Because I think that stops a lot of people. So you mentioned e-commerce too, right?
Well,
To pay off your debt.
the e-commerce is really part of the affiliate marketing because it's a e-com website. So, but yeah, there's, you know what, Jessica, there's so many different paths that you can take. I mean, people set up Shopify stores, right? And they're making
$30 a month. That's all it costs to shut up a Shopify store.
exactly. And it's there's all kinds of training and you can get mentors and what the idea here is, or what about like an Etsy store, right? Maybe you have a passion for like an art or a craft that you make, or you make beautiful clothing for children, or I don't know, whatever it is that's your thing. Figure out what the marketplace needs, solve a problem in the marketplace, and usually you want to wrap it around some sort of e-commerce because people are buying online nowadays. Brick and mortar is really, it's really going out. Although, these big brick and mortar stores are certainly realizing that they need to get on board with this e-commerce, and some of them are starting to crush it in this brick and mortar hybrid e-commerce mishmash. But the idea here, right, is, and this is what I really want to kind of get out in the marketplace with, is I want to become known as this like debt slayer, right? Because the traditional way to pay off your debt is the Susie Orman, the Dave Ramsey, right? Save your way to paying off freaking $35,000 worth of debt. I know that it works for some people because I've seen some people's YouTube videos that I guess do it. But again, it goes back to 75% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So what are you saving? So here's what I want to kind of flip this. I want to be the modern day Susie Orman, the modern day Dave Ramsey. Their methods are outdated. And so people need to really embrace and not be afraid of this multiple streams of income. So you've got your job. I'm not telling you to go quit your job. Okay. Just create a secondary stream of income for yourself so you can pay off your debt and it's off your shoulders. And then, by the way, the genius part of all this is that after you pay off your debt, that stream of income is still going to be coming through to you.
I think the biggest question I get in the Dare to Be Her community is that people either want to make more money or, make more money to pay off debts, but they're so worried that they have to get a secondary full-time job, a job that's going to consume them with their time,
Yes.
which they do not have. So tell us more. Let's go deeper into this. How do you do it? What do you do? What are some ideas that people can do? And the also other thing is like, all right, so you're like, oh, you can start a Shopify account. People get into this fear of, yeah, but it costs me $30 a month to have a Shopify account.
Exactly. Right.
So let's talk that.
Right. Well, I'm just going to be really real. You're right. It is going to cost you $30 a month. And you've got to kind of get into this. So first thing that I would do, the first thing that I would advise anyone to do is sit down and really get clear on your 12-month vision. And actually, I don't know, I have this really beautiful PDF. It's called the, you know, my ideal 12-month vision. I can certainly send it to you if you want to. I'm not sure how you would get it out to your viewers, but if there's a way for you to get it out, I know this is a podcast, but we can.
I can, I'll drop the link to it in the show notes awesome. When we're done.
So first thing I would do is get really clear on why you need a secondary stream of income, right? Because if you're not clear on that, the second that somebody says something nasty to you, or the second that you come across $30 that you've got to pay a month, you're going to be like, nah, no, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I'm just gonna work my job. I'll figure out the debt thing. Right. So mm-hmm. if you get really clear on why, and I'm talking about like why you need this secondary stream of income, what is it going to do for you? You know, and it can't just be about the money. Like maybe it's the peace of mind. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, I don't know, after you pay off the debt, you'll have this income coming in, right? And maybe you could go on a vacation that you've never gone on, right? Maybe there's a place you want to travel and it would be possible. It's not going to be possible with just your 9-to-5 job, but it would be possible if you had that little extra after your debt's paid off, like as a celebration, right? Oh, and then you could go next the year after, because remember that income's going to keep coming. So, you know, get really clear on why and what your vision is. And once you do that, like you said, Jessica, people are like, well, you know, $30 a month, I don't know, I can't spend that, right? Well, when you're clear on your why and your vision, then all of a sudden, is $30 a month gonna you know, get you off track from that vision? Probably not. You're probably going to be like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to this. And $30 isn't going to stop me. It's $30, right? I'm going to make that and then like times a million.
You got to make that vision stronger than that $30.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing that I really also like to focus on is don't feel this pressure to feel like you got to go out and make $1 million.
Yes,
what if it's
yes.
just $500 a month?
What if it's $50 a month?
Exactly.
I mean, that matters.
Yeah, tell about your furniture business. If you want an idea, I mean, tell about that your furniture business, right?
Yeah. So a few years back, I just kind of was searching for, it was a mix of passion and it was a mix of extra money. So I was in my basement and I had this old twin bed. It was probably like a twin bed frame from like the 1950s or something. And I was like, man, I wonder if like I just repainted that, if I could make a couple bucks on it. There was actually two of them. It was a matching twin set. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I painted them, if I could make like $50 on each of those. And so I went out and I bought, or I may have even had, I forget, a can of white paint. And I just sanded them down and painted them and put them on Craigslist. $100 in 2 days. Somebody gave me for those beds. And then it just started to build and it was like, oh, I wonder what else I can paint and sell. And it turned into a 2-year business that funded two of my trips. It bought my husband a new dirt bike cash.
Like, wow.
And it's just a simple little thing of like, all right, what can I do in my spare time to make an extra couple bucks? What can I do to enjoy my time more?
Wow.
My free time. So yeah, like every dollar counts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the best part is you were actually enjoying it, right?
Yes. I was loving it. Like I almost opened up a brick and mortar store and then I really took a hard look at what I wanted for my life and that just didn't line up. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I loved it.
Such a great idea. There's so many possibilities. Don't, you know, don't feel pressured to, you know, do what everybody else is doing. You can explore, and you can, you know, feel out what feels right to you. However, I would say with that, be careful that you don't, you know, get caught in this trap of like, well, you know, that seems good, but you know, there's something better out there. You know, I'm just going to wait for that. If you see something that lights you up, I would say go for it.
Yeah, you know? Go for it for sure.
If you don't make it, right? If it doesn't work out, Don't be afraid of that. It's part of your journey. It's going to make you stronger for the next time, right? Jeff Bezos, who created Amazon, failed so many times with so many millions of dollars wasted, that didn't turn into anything. And now, of course, he has Amazon and it's so successful.
Imagine if he gave up.
Exactly.
Imagine if there was no Amazon.
There is nothing different.
What would we do?
Exactly. There's nothing different between you and Jeff Bezos. It's just that Jeff Bezos never gave up. He kept going. Right?
So what are some different things that some ladies who work with are doing and using to make some extra income?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I would say probably what I see the most of is these Shopify stores, these Etsy stores. I see a lot of women in this direct sales, multi-level marketing space. And what I do have to say about that is I don't see a lot succeeding. I would say be really careful with the MLM, the direct sales stuff. And just because usually the way that it's set up, it is not to help you make money. It's to help the company make money.
Mm-hmm.
So, just be careful with that. I would say, a lot of women just coming up with these really creative. I see a lot on Instagram, influencers and friends that I'm with on Instagram that are, creating these t-shirt stores on Instagram, right? And then they've got the Shopify store on the back end, but they're advertising through Instagram. They're making these cool t-shirts with cool sayings and inspirational quotes on them. More traditional businesses, which of course, the reason why why I'm so excited to share my business with people is because, when you have a lot of these businesses, there are startup costs. And when I was starting, I was a single mom. I had a 3-month-old and I had a 2-year-old. And I literally, was coming out of a pretty bad situation. So I really did not have anything to my name. I mean, I had $3,000 because I had just gotten my tax return. But that's really all that I had to my name. In fact, I had lost all of my belongings in this crazy move. That's a story for another day, but this crazy move from Indiana back to Connecticut. So my business is really good and I'm really excited to share it with people because there's no overhead, there's no investment. And it's just something that everybody needs and anyone can do. So, but again, if you're passionate about something, you will find a way. I believe that anybody can come up with $500. Mm-hmm. Anybody can come up with $500. And so that's usually, that's really what it usually costs to start an Etsy store, a Shopify store. And so I would say just get really clear on your vision and then figure out, again, make sure you're solving a problem in the marketplace. And make sure that it's something that you're passionate about.
I was going to say that something that solves a problem and something that excites you. Because if it doesn't excite you, trust me, the money's not going to do it for you. Making money is just not exciting enough. That's not how we're programmed as humans. You got to find that something that genuinely excites you.
Exactly.
And then the money will come.
And here's kind of a side note to that. So there's going to be times in business. Mel Robbins said this. She said, there's times in business when you have to clean the toilets. There's times in business when you got to make the phone calls. Just know, okay, that there may be some mundane activities that are necessary to grow that business. Okay. And maybe you're not so jazzed up about cleaning the toilets. I kind of say that metaphorically, cleaning the toilets could mean making phone calls. It could mean just doing the grunt work.
Website development, whatever.
Exactly. Whatever it might be that you're not jazzed up about. But just know that if you're passionate about so I would say get clear on your vision, get clear on your vision of your passion for the vision of your business. Get clear on your vision, your 12-month vision, and get clear on your vision, your passion for the vision of your business. And don't be afraid to you know, tackle those mundane tasks. They might not be the most exciting, but they're what's necessary to grow the business. So
yeah,
you got to do them.
Yes, you do. Like it or not, it's what's going to happen to get ahead, right?
Exactly.
Because debt, I feel like, has just become a norm of life.
Yeah.
But it's like the one thing that's holding you back. I mean, people ask how I get to do what I do, and it's 100% because I have zero debt. And when you have zero debt, when you have zero bills over your head, you have freedom to do whatever you want.
Yes.
And I think we're losing track of, you know, the harm that debt is really doing to us. So it's like, we got to get real.
Yeah.
Got to get real about it.
It's not about the money, right? It's not about having $1 million. It's about the time freedom. Because
it does not cost a lot of money to live.
Exactly. But it does cost a lot. You know, it does tax on your soul when you're unhappy. Again, going back to my mom, I watched her. She's 70 years old, you know, all her life working two jobs, like, not happy. And she can't get that time back. You know, time is so precious. So there's a saying, and I'm sure everybody's heard it, that time equals money. So false. Time does not equal money. Because you know what? Money comes and goes. You're going to make it. You're going to lose it. It's paper. It doesn't matter. But time, like, we only have a certain amount of time. You cannot get time back. So
it's literally gone once it's gone.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Caitlin.
Thank you so much for having me.
I got to know one last question
here.
What's on the menu for dinner tonight?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay.
Caitlin is always cooking up some amazing dinners. You guys got to get on her Facebook. You got to follow her because she's always got these lives going with the most amazing recipes. What's for dinner tonight,
okay,
girl?
Okay. So tonight we're having broiled Arctic char with sesame ginger mustard.
What is that?
So a char is kind of a mix between like a whitefish and a salmon.
Oh.
And then I'm going to do like a rice and a seaweed salad with it. Of course, I'm not making the seaweed salad. I'm getting it from the grocery store. But I'm so glad you brought that up, because here's like probably my last tidbit, because I know you've probably got things that you've got to do. I've been talking your ear off.
You're good.
I don't know if you could tell, but I love to talk.
I love to listen. All good.
Well, thank you. But you know, when you're, that's something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about cooking, and like, don't get me wrong, I am not a classically trained chef or anything like that. I actually used to be a terrible cook. And so I just, through practice, through just executing and messing up, I've become a better cook. And so I created this hashtag Boss Babe Kitchen, and I go live with it. And literally, it's like me cooking. My kids are running around. I'm drinking wine. It's
madness. Love it. It's like pure, like I say, imperfect action. Like, there's nothing perfect about it. It's just pure authenticity, and it's the best.
Thank you. Exactly. It's just me. And so, you know, don't always feel like if you're doing these lives, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, to grow your, you know, your friends and to connect with your friends, don't always feel like you got to sit with that perfect background. Be yourself and like show your life and how you really are.
Yes. I was just having this thought with myself this week. I'm like, I'm on this phone call, right? Two phone calls this week where I'm with these girls who had this perfect background. They just had their shower. They're at their computer. And I'm like running around my yard. My dog's chasing after a cat down the driveway. I'm screaming. The wind's blowing. And I'm like, this is me. Yeah. Like, I was struggled with it for a day. And then I was like, this is me. This is my life. My life is chaos. I'm a hot mess. Like, I don't want to sit there at the computer in a boxed in office. Like, that's what I did everything to get away from. So
yes.
Embrace it. Embrace
yes.
You.
And you will be, I just guarantee that you will be the one that people appreciate and connect with, because everybody is crazy. Everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody is like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to do it.
Yes, so true. So yeah, where can everybody find you? How can everyone follow you? And then I'll leave the link in the show notes for that planner
Awesome.
for everybody. But where can they find you? Where can they follow you?
Okay. So the best way to reach out to me is call me, send me a text. Don't be shy.
Call
Call
her,
me.
pick up the phone, dial the number.
Practice on me. Practice on me. Okay. Make that first practice call on me because I'm not going to chew your head off. You know I'm going to be friendly. My phone number is 860-857-6728. Send me a
She
text.
is putting it
Give me
out
a call.
there. She ain't messing around.
And then, of course, Facebook, Caitlin Wheeler. I can either send you my link. You can put it in the show notes. I've got a green shirt on. I'm smiling. I've got strawberry blonde hair. The background's a little bit messy. You could kind of hardly see it. And Instagram, of course, my handle is at Caitlin Wheeler Official. So those are the three best ways to connect with me. But I would say go for the text, go for the phone call because, like I said, stand
Why
out,
mess around?
stand out. Practice
Yes,
on
love
me.
it. Thank you so
Oh my
much.
gosh, you are so amazing, Jessica. I love this vision. I can't wait just to see, how you grow and how you impact people with this podcast. It's amazing. You're doing amazing things, and I'm so glad that we connected. I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys freaking loved today's episode. Go back to it, hit pause, grab a pen and a piece of paper, and take some life-changing notes. There was some good stuff in there. If you did enjoy today's episode, also leave me a 5-star rating. Drop a comment in the reviews. Let me know what you took away from today's chat with Caitlin, and I want to let you know I appreciate y'all so much. Never stop daring to be the girl that you know you were born to be.